There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, put your mittens on your kittens, and away we go. Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. A few ways, actually, they're more than that, but the most popular ways. The top three list, we got the top three list music going. All right, Paul. The top three ways to get in touch with the show. Two of them use the same number, the telephone call or the text to 343-0106, 343-0106. And an additional way, if you're on the FM Talk 106.5 app, if you'll press that microphone icon, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on this very program. All right, so use those, but 343-0106. And coming up on in hour number two, like I mentioned, spread the word. If you remember him from his days at Primos Outdoors, he does work now with the Meat Eater Network. Lake Pickle joins me at 1 o'clock, lots to talk about with him. Also, Erica Thomas coming up in this hour. But leadoff matter, my man, and I've got to check with him here at this point and see where he is on. Are you working out? Is my buddy Cameron Smith? You read his work in the Tennessean through national newspapers and see him online. I saw a workout picture from you and the Beast, your boys. Are y'all getting ready for triathlon? I mean, I saw tires in your workout room and all that. What's going on with y'all?
Well, I'm trying to keep the sheetrock on the walls in my home, and the only way to do that is to wear out my boys. And so we move heavy things, we flip tires. We do it rain or shine. We don't care. We are going to sweat, and it is glorious.
Well, it's a cool looking. I was jealous. It was a cool looking workout room. But then I saw those tires. I said, is he training those boys for, remember the World's Strongest Man competition when ESPN used to not have anything to put on? They'd put on like Magnus Ferguson has to, you know, carry a boulder for 100 yards in this competition. Maybe that kind of workout?
Yeah, absolutely, because why not? I mean, we actually have these industrial truck tires, and one of them is a tractor, and I have two that I think were from cement trucks. And not only do we flip them up and down hills, we practice jumping over them into the middle, jumping out, and then we have these maces, like Viking warlords, that we beat them with. So it's pretty awesome.
Okay. I'm going to call you this evening. I'm going to get up. I've got the tires. I just need to figure out where to go pick up a mace, somewhere convenient. I don't know if I have to do that online or somewhere here in town has got them. All right. I want to start off with Tennessee. And, it's SCOTUS season now and a big one today. I want you to explain all this to us as they rule that the state ban on gender transition treatments for minors, Tennessee can do that, right? I mean, what was exactly at question here? Is that what happened and what was the question and really what did SCOTUS say?
Yeah, this was a big case. Tennessee led the charge. Alabama filed a brief. And the basic argument here from the states was, hey, our ability to restrict things based on age, this is not a protected class in the same way like race or gender is. The opponents of that argument said, you know what? We think that this deserves at least intermediate scrutiny, which is a standard of review, because this is based on sex, biological sex, and therefore – the state's compelling purpose needs to be demonstrated with exacting clarity and demonstrate that you don't have other alternatives here. This is just common sense, Sean, that immutable changes to minors are a bad idea, like across the board. And, you know, then people will say, well, what about circumcision? What about, okay, there's a big difference here. We all know it. And we've been asked to ignore our own common sense for a long time. And the court basically, in this opinion, said, no, states do have an interest here, and they're not doing it in a way that is impermissible from the Constitution's standpoint. And they allowed those type of laws to stand. And I think, frankly, they should.
So they're backing up the state's ability to make that decision. Are they then going on to say, because, you know, this idea that it's health care, right? That's a word that people that are for this have said, you're denying, you know, it's equal protection. You're denying health care. This treatment is health care for these kids, which so many of us disagree with. But I mean, that's their argument, right?
Yeah. And, you know, my argument would be that there's no guaranteed right to health care. So that argument sort of falls flat with me anyway. But the bigger argument that I think folks are making is, well, you're coming between, you know, doctors and their patients. The state is saying it knows best. And what the state is basically saying, in my view, is we don't know best. We don't know how this should go and what the right thing might be. But what we do know is there's tomes of information about the developing brains and capacities of minors. There's a reason we don't let them vote. We don't let them enter into contracts that aren't voidable. We don't let them do a lot of things because they're in this developmental stage. And those laws have held, and they're not particularly controversial. I mean, we don't let, you know, 8-year-olds smoke cigarettes. Why? Well, they're developing, they can't make great choices, and that's we know it's really harmful for them. In this context, these changes are immutable. I mean, this is not saying that a child cannot present as the opposite gender. It's not saying parents can't use different pronouns. It's simply saying, hey, in this context of these very material changes to a child physically, chemically, that sort of thing, we need to kind of wait here until development happens and they're in a position as adults to make these decisions for themselves. Because these are not minor changes. These are not small procedures. These are a big deal. And in many cases, they've demonstrated, like, hey, this isn't really truly reversible in the way that, you know, you're presenting it. And so, I think this is common sense. I know that the political left will howl and hiss at this, but I don't think most of America looks at this and says, you know what? It's a great idea to, you know, allow this anywhere and everywhere. And I think we won't see that in states like Alabama and Tennessee.
Yeah, and that's why it's interesting for the healthcare portion of it and the research that came out of the United Kingdom or England and elsewhere on this, and then what's been studied here in the States, because it is, I mean, we could talk about the age to, you know, you could say we got to be 18 years old in Tennessee to get a tattoo. You know, a Skinner tattoo or whatever. And parents, you know, are going to, you can do, once you're age majority, you can make whatever decision you want on that. But that argument I keep hearing from the left, like you just mentioned, is this question that it's a pro, you know, we're talking about, and the research comes back, it has negative health implications. People on the left will say it is a positive health thing. You're denying something that is health care for the, and like you said, there's no guarantee of it, although ask Obamacare. But I mean, that's the issue, right? I mean, if the doctors come back and say this is not life-saving for these children, then I think this doesn't need to come back up in another court case.
Well, and here's the deal. On a lot of this stuff, we don't have a lot of experience here. And what I mean by that is over time, like, for example, we know that transgender youth have a radically higher suicide rate than the general population. We know that some of the mental health challenges in this cohort are significant and material. And so if you're able to show, well, hey, we do this surgery and then, hey, long-term those things change. Okay. I mean, I'm happy to listen to that evidence, but right now we don't really have that. It is just simply this anecdotal. We think it's better. We want to try it. Well, that's a pretty permanent try. And I don't think that you can tell the state that's charged with protecting its citizens from, you can't say you have no interest in saying, all we want you to do is wait. We're asking you to wait. And then the left comes in and says, well, they'll die.
Yeah.
They'll kill themselves if they don't do this. And to which I say, well, what if they do it and then now want to change and now you've increased that suicide risk? And the answer is, well, we don't know. And so we're going to go ahead and proceed. I side with the state in saying, you know, we're better off waiting. It's a better choice.
Okay. Next subject here. Do you want to, I mean, you can do one of the two things. You can tell me what the population of Iran is, or you can give me three countries, other countries that border Iran. Which one do you want to choose?
The population of Iran is 92 million. And I know that because Tucker Carlson is a weirdo.
It is interesting to hear how the, you know, Tucker Carlson, who I like him. There's a lot of things, or there's some things I disagree with him on. There's some things, a lot of things I agree with him on. But it's people to be lockstep, their love for Tucker Carlson. Now, all of a sudden, President Trump says he's weird. Now these people are lined up and say, well, now he's weird. I'm like, what was he last week then? Was it a setup? Well, sure, for Cruz, but I mean, he was making a point about not going to war, which, you know, that's in my bailiwick.
Yeah, and look, you and I actually agree on this point, that war is terrible. War is not something that we should get excited about. The folks that are like, yeah, let's fly some bombers and just blow stuff up. Let's think about what this means. I will say in the Iran-Israel situation, there are a couple of things we need to consider. One, we are the great Satan. And that's not my words. That's the leadership of Iran. It is not Israel that they hate the most. It is us. And Israel's a close second, but they hate us. Little Satan, big Satan. Like, the whole point is we're Satan and need to be destroyed. They just can't. And we need to get over this idea that Iran is going to try to harm us less if we are nice to them. That's just not true. I mean, you can actually read their constitution. You can listen to their leaders. They hate us. So let's start with that basic reality and then work back from there and say, do we want to go to get in another Middle Eastern war that engages and lasts forever? No. Do we want a nuclear-enabled Iran? No. And frankly, do I want to continue to have this discussion about Iran being on the precipice of nuclear weapons? No. So to that end, whether Israel takes out their entire nuclear capacity or we support them and we take out one facility, I don't know that it matters in terms of our war entanglement, because Iran already wants to attack and harm us.
Yeah, we get to that in a second. But it's this idea that has to be done this way. And, I worry. When Lindsey Graham is excited about something, I start to sweat, right? I don't like it. I am far from a neocon. I am the flip side of that coin. We get called a different bunch of names each week because of that. But if the people, right? So the Green Revolution, we talked about this on the show yesterday. Green Revolution, if it had gotten a nudge the way we did nudges in Ukraine, maybe things would have changed in Iran. And to say that we're the great Satan and they want to kill, well, their leaders have said that. Same way, like if we had leadership that we didn't go through election cycles here and there's somebody in power that just said, you know what, dang you, pick a country, Liechtenstein. We hate Liechtenstein. And the people like at the House are going, I really don't care about Liechtenstein. I mean, the leader's saying we hate, that's our brand, but I'm not on brand for this. I think there's a lot of people in Iran. What I hope is if the Israelis do what they're doing, I just don't want to be part of it, and they weaken Iran enough, maybe the people there that are sick of this crap will rise up and they'll do the job themselves.
Yes, and that is the hope. I don't believe in regime change, especially not American-led regime change. It goes about as well as we're now combating the regime that was part of a revolution. And now we're hoping for a different set of revolutionaries. I mean, it's not really great. It doesn't work out real well for us when we do this sort of thing. I do think it could work out really well for the people of Iran. Iran is a massive place. It's about twice the size of Texas. And like I said, 92 million people. It's not a small country. And yet you have a ruling elite that has the supreme leader, and he's sort of the authoritarian hand on top of everything. And then they have a parliament and a democratically elected president. It just doesn't mean anything, right? And so you already have the infrastructure there for these elections and things like that. And if you just rip off the regime on top, there's already infrastructure there for them to lead themselves. I just don't think it's America's job, or frankly, Israel's job, to say, hey, here's how you got to set up what's next. Here's how you guys got to act. If Iran wants to overthrow this regime, they've been heavily neutered. My interest is specifically in the regime that is there is absolutely an insane theocracy with some wild beliefs about the coming of the 12th Imam. Mm-hmm. And there is no world in which we should allow them to have any significant ordnance, much less a nuclear weapon. And so I am supportive of destroying that capacity once and for all. While I am not supportive of a lengthy military engagement on behalf of the United States.
Well, the problem is just police actions turn into lengthy engagements. You know how the history has gone on that. I would just hope that there's what we saw during the Green Revolution, if that's still, you know, if those people are keeping their heads down, but looking right now, if Israel can diminish the power of the IRGC or enough for those people to go, all right, this is our time. Hey, we're going to make the push. Because if we come in there, like you said, if a regime change or Lord knows Israel or us tell Iranians how to live their lives and do it, they don't want to hear from us. That's going to be the worst because they'll resist just to be stubborn. You know, I would do the same thing. You're not going to tell me if, you know, flipped it around, Iran was coming in here and saying, now we're going to tell you what to do. No, you're not.
Yeah. And I think that's the attitude that we have. And frankly, I support Trump's approach in this, which he's like, I'm not telling you what I'm doing. I know that this Iran needs to fully surrender and then come to the table and then we can have these discussions. He knows that Iran doesn't act in good faith. I've got a piece that I just filed today that, look, the idea of we're going to negotiate with religious zealots, we're not. They're going to continue to try because people don't understand. There's this doctrine called Mahdiism, which is basically the idea that they have to clear the way for the 12th Imam to reappear and usher in a basically Islamic control of the world. When you believe that, you're not going to come to the table and say, you know what, we're going to be peaceful and sit here and give up our nuclear ambitions because that nuclear bomb enables us to leverage the rest of the world. So we're not going to have successful negotiations with Iran. It has to be complete surrender. And then either we go in peacefully and destroy these facilities or we're going to destroy the facilities and then leave.
People want to continue this conversation with you or tell them where to read your upcoming piece. You said the latest here.
Yeah, it'll be coming out of the Tennessean. I'm available on X at D Cameron Smith, but I really value you guys in the conversation. We need to discuss these issues seriously because I don't want to end up in another lengthy war.
Nor do I. I don't want to end up in any war. And I'll be sending you a text later to find out where I can pick up a mace here in South Alabama, if that'll work.
Yes, sir.
All right, there he goes. Cameron Smith. Be right back. More Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1227 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Text line and the phone line, both the digits works on both. 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming up, Erica Thomas from 1819 News. By the way, that story that Devin just had there, and more on this, the name change for Fort Rucker. It went from Fort Rucker to Fort Novosel, now going back to Fort Rucker, but it's going to be a different Rucker. Says the new Fort Rucker is named in honor, I think you've heard this, Captain Edward W. Rucker, an aviator from Missouri, who earned the Distinguished Service Cross for heroism during World War I. Which, by the way, if you were, it's pretty strong. But let me suggest this. Maybe, because nobody ever calls it, it's just always been Fort Rucker. And not, you know, now it's going to be Rucker again, but it's for another Rucker. Why not Darius Rucker? I know that. Well, I don't think he served. I don't think Darius, because he was by the time. Yeah, I don't think Darius served. But you know, if you don't like this Rucker, you just in your mind, Fort Rucker is for Darius Rucker. What do you think, Hootie and the Blowfish fans? I mean, all seven of y'all. That's so. When I hear Fort Rucker from now on, I'm picturing Darius Rucker. All right. Let's see, to the text line here. Michael says, if the Republicans take us into a war in the Middle East again, they will get crushed in the midterms. They won the last cycle because Catholics voted en masse for Trump and them, and they will lose their gains with Catholic voters over this. Anderson in Foley says, where Iran is concerned, I like the Barney Fife method, nip it in the bud. Well, we could have nipped it in the bud. How long, I mean, I don't know what is actually going on right now. And I've referenced the Stuxnet virus and all that stuff that we did way back then. To slow down the process, I thought that was great. I've been hearing, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, that Iran's on, just they're right on the edge of having the weapon. I believe they might be now, but were they BSing us before? I don't know. All right, we'll get some more of these texts, and also we will get Erica Thomas on next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I do think this thing is getting traction here. Hopefully we can hashtag it or something, and whatever you do out there, make it go viral. The renaming of Fort Rucker. Some people are, now it's going to be called Fort Rucker again, but it's a different Rucker. Right, it's a World War One aviator, who, by the way, World War One aviation in the biplanes where they, yeah, the machine gun there with the timing belt so it could shoot between the rotations of the props, and then doing the dogfight. It's pretty tough stuff. But that Captain Edward W. Rucker, that's the new namesake for Fort Rucker, never had a hit record. So I would suggest Darius Rucker. It would be the person behind the naming of the new Fort Rucker. I'm just working it out here, but see if you're with me. Let's bring you into this fray, our friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Hello, Erica.
Hey, Sean. You know what? I have not been called Eureka since I was in second grade.
Well,
but
I would have been doing the same thing. Well, there you go. That's where I stopped. The Peter Principal let me get in the third grade, and pretty much I was done at that point.
Yeah. Well, I love the topic right now. This is right up my alley. Anything with country music or 90s nostalgia, I'm in. And Darius Rucker is the epitome of that. He was, you know, on Hootie and the Blowfish, and then he went out on his own and started doing the country version mm-hmm. of things. And it was interesting you said, you know, I really love country music fans because they're so loyal. Like, once you cross over into country music, you're going to always have lifelong fans.
Yeah.
And I think that's so true.
And and you should get a fort name for you.
Yeah. A what?
A fort. You get a fort if you're...
A fort.
You know,
and you could put, like, at the entrance of it, you could do, like, the big wagon wheels.
Excellent. Nice. And then they get some fort in New Jersey. It'd be Fort John Bon Jovi. I mean, you could, like, you know, make it for different areas of the country. It'd be something.
We really should have done that. Fort Elvis, because he was...
Yes, Fort Elvis. Wow. That's yeah, Mama, I got sent. I'm based at Fort Elvis now. Oh, good, honey.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Working it out. All right. This out of the headlines, you get so many up over at 1819news.com. But I thought about the latest thing in the presser out of Pritchard yesterday, and then I saw your headline that Governor Ivey's Metro Area Crime Suppression Unit stands ready if needed in Pritchard. First of all, is this what came from the bill they passed this last year? Does she have her own personal crime suppression unit? Explain to me here.
So from how I understand it is the Metro Area Crime Suppression, which they call MAX unit, that was formed last year. They actually formed the unit last year. I think mainly the reason why they did that was because all the crime in Montgomery was so bad. They mm-hmm. knew they had to do something. And so they knew they were going to have to go into this area and kind of take over some of the issues, some of the major crimes they were having there. So that's what they did, and they just got different, really, really experienced law enforcement people all in this little unit to deploy to different places when they were needed. So they were needed in Montgomery. Montgomery wanted them. They wanted to go to Montgomery. I mean, you know, the capital's in Montgomery, and the last thing you want is for the capital to be the place that everybody's like, that's the most dangerous place in the state.
Right. But I think that's true in some other states out there.
I'm sure.
But do they work for?
I think it might be true in the United States. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, when you're in the capital, in the federal capital. I mean, but they. So I mean, because right here we asked about crime concerns at Pritchard. Governor Kay Ivey's office told 1819 News that the unit stands ready to deploy when the need arises. So she makes the call. I mean, is it like her personal police force? Because this is new to me.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's Governor Ivey's personal police force, but I would say that she formed it. You know, she wanted this to be an issue that the legislature addressed this year, which they did. And so what they did this year was they, part of her Safe Alabama Public Safety Package, she had in, I think it was around $3 million to fund this and to make it a 24-man unit. And so they passed that. So now they have it. And she doesn't just say, oh, there's a bunch of crime in Pritchard, we're going in. It's not like that. The people of the town or the city, usually a metro area, they ask for it.
Okay.
You know, and then Ivy's unit will go in. Now, is it always going to be like that? I don't know. It could expand. Things could change. But as of right now, it's only if the local officials collaborate with the state officials and they need this. So an example of a smaller scale of this is what happened in Pritchard in December. The county came in and started investigating major crimes because Pritchard is in Mobile County, even though it's its own city, kinda. It is in Mobile County. And so Sheriff Paul Birch, you know, he's that sheriff that's going to tell it like it is. He's going to do what he has to do. He said, this is ridiculous what we're seeing in here. There's gang violence. There's shootings. People that are innocent are getting shot and killed. Pritchard is not supposed to be this kind of place. Nowhere in Mobile County is supposed to be this kind of place. So as the chief law enforcement officer in the county, I'm going to take over major crimes in Pritchard. The local police department knew they did not have the resources to solve crimes. I mean, by golly, they weren't solving any. You know, people were getting shot every other weekend, and then there was no solving it. So the county came in, and since then, they have been able to solve more of those violent crimes, shootings, you know, assaults, that sort of thing. And so this is kind of like that, except for on a state level.
And in Montgomery, I don't know where these 24, like where they lay their heads at night. Maybe it was easier because they're all from the Montgomery area. But if they deploy some, if they ask, if they're asked and they come down, I mean, is it like they come down and book a bunch of rooms at the Hampton Inn and stay there until the job's done, or they come in for the day? I mean, I don't know. They come in like to a job site. They're going to stay till they finish the job.
You know, I'm really not sure about that. That would be a very interesting story to kind of look at how this unit will work. But so far, I believe the only place they've really focused is in Montgomery. So I would assume they were all from around that area. And maybe they would just be able to convene, you know, as the crimes happen.
Okay. I want to switch to Baldwin County. And this is like, you know, we're talking about music. You have like new music out and then you have hit records like that. Everybody, you know, once, oh, I'll play the song from whatever. This is one of our like perennials. You and I talking about South Baldwin County and ALDOT and the Intracoastal Waterway Bridge. Now there's an update. Y'all listen to this. So Erica, it says ALDOT. So we, the people of the state of Alabama, have not paid the money for the injunction claim. What gives?
Okay, so here we go again. Scott Bridge Company is the company that is building the new bridge over the Intracoastal Waterway. And just in case anybody doesn't remember, this was a big to-do a couple of years ago. This bridge was planned, and then the neighboring owners of the bridge beside it, Baldwin County Bridge Company, it was a toll bridge, as we all know. They were like, whoa, state of Alabama, you cannot build this bridge right beside our moneymaker. That's going to put us out of business. Well, the state of Alabama was like, we don't care. We're going to do it anyways. And then Baldwin County Bridge Company said, well, we're going to sue you. And they filed a lawsuit. State of Alabama continued to build that bridge. Well, that was until in the lawsuit that the judge, who, remember, he called the new bridge the Cooper Bridge, and he was just super nasty in his way of explaining why he did not believe the state was doing the right thing. It was very colorful, the words he used. But he put an injunction on there. So then they had to stop the building of the bridge. However, they had already started. They had already done some footwork for this bridge. They couldn't just leave all of that equipment out there. For like just over 5 months, they were at a standstill. But they still had to, the judge even came back in during the case and said, well, even though you're not supposed to be there, you can at least be there to monitor your equipment.
Yeah, we talked about
what you've done so far is safe. Yeah. Okay, well, all that costs a lot of money. Apparently, like around $9 million for 6 months of stopping the work. So you're basically spending money, not doing anything. What a waste. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a waste.
Our state seems to have a way to find, we find ways to do that a lot. We do something, then we get sued, and then we spend more money and then get sued.
Well, and if they just would have waited until this lawsuit went through before telling Scott Bridge Company, go ahead, you know, that would have solved the problem. So in the meantime, Scott Bridge Company, the owner, Ike Scott, amazing human. He's from Opelika. This family has had this bridge company for over 90 years. They go way back in Alabama history and just have done amazing things, and they're just really, really good people. They were victims in this. They were not getting paid by LDOT when they were doing no work. So they asked, they calculated how much it would be for, you know, to be out of work for however long. And so LDOT decided, you know, the $9 million would be the injunction claim. Well, they only paid out $2 million so far. So Scott Bridge Company is still owed $7 million from the state, which really shouldn't have ever been a thing in the first place. You know, this isn't included in the main price tag for this bridge.
I mean, how many Alabama taxpayers have to pay their full freight for taxes to pay for this? I mean, y'all start thinking about it that way, and it'll tee you off big time. We do this stuff. We do it. Maybe they do it the same amount in other states, but this is my state, and I get so frustrated.
I think this is a John Cooper deal. He was the one that said, "Let's keep going. Mm-hmm. Let's keep doing this." He's the LDOT director. You know, he's the one that made that decision. He is also the one that is going to have to approve this injunction claim. So we'll see what happens. And Ike Scott, it was interesting because he told me about this months ago. And he said, I don't really want to go on the record about this. I don't want to make anybody sound bad. You know, he's just such a nice person. Monday he said, I'm trying to remain optimistic, but, you know, while my guys were off the job, I was still paying them full wage because they have families. And it's very important to Ike Scott to take care of families and take care of his workers. He also found some of them other little jobs they could go to because he said, you know, bridge builders, we don't do good sitting still. So, I mean, it was interesting. But Monday he said, I mean, I think we got to do something. You know, I've tried to get a hearing on this. So he told me that Monday. I emailed Tony Harris with LDOT, the chief communications guy, that afternoon. And then it wasn't 2 hours later that Ike Scott said, well, I got a hearing, a committee hearing.
Good for you. Thank you, Erica.
I said, well, that's awesome. You know, it's funny, like, how things move along. Yeah. And I'm not saying that it's because I emailed anybody. I don't even know if he got the email before. I'm just saying it happened on the same day.
So, yeah.
And this has been going on for months. So it could be a huge coincidence. Definitely not patting myself on the back there.
Well, it's the Fourth Estate. People, you know, I mean, people like to drag media through the mud, and sometimes it's well deserved. But there's a real value to the Fourth Estate in keeping government responsive. We'll make it that
definitely.
Way.
Definitely. I've seen a lot of stuff like that in my career. Like, people, for months, nothing was happening, and we just make a phone call. I mean, there's been stories at 1819 News that I've worked on for weeks and never published, because the whole purpose of that story was to fight for the rights of an Alabama citizen. And by the time I got done making the phone calls, the problem was fixed. So then there was no point unless you're just like a clickbait website. But I've actually done that before, where I've worked really hard and then that story never even came out because the problem was fixed.
Good stuff.
Because 1819 News.
Well, I mean, it is. Y'all think about that. I mean, when you talk about the value of media, it is a big part of it. If people want to read more of your stories and more of these stories we just talked about, how do they find them?
Well, definitely head over to 1819news.com. We do the stories that you're not going to see anywhere else. We do stories for the people of Alabama. And you can email me at erica.thomas@1819news.com. And you can also find me on X at Erica T News.
Good stuff. We'll talk again next week. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you. God bless.
Coming right back. More Midday Mobile News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, the segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. And I guess they're going to extend it into their summertime sale, because what is it, tomorrow evening? Yeah, Friday evening. We officially go into summer. But the spring bicycle sale still underway at Adventure Earth Bicycles, with Fuji e-bikes on sale right now for $1,200, normally $1,800. Also, Denago Commute 2 e-bikes, regularly $2,100, right now $1,700. Also, they've got shipments in from Ufree e-bikes and Big Sur e-bikes. And I think we've talked about this in the past, but my buddy Clint did a whole bunch of ordering before the tariffs went into effect, so he doesn't have that tariff pricing on them like you might get somewhere else. So he's got these bikes, he bought them beforehand, and making great deals on these. And in addition to your e-bikes, he has the accessories to go on them, and there's a lot of cool stuff. I mean, first of all, you go in the shop and he's got 400 of what he calls the Amish bikes, the non-electric bikes, 75 plus of the e-bikes at any given time. But the helmets to go with them, the panniers, the phone holder, gun holder, water bottle holder, all that stuff that goes on the bike, you can get those right there at the shop. Plus, he does the service work there. You buy your bike from Adventure Earth Bicycles quarterly, they're going to do a full maintenance on them. But even if you didn't, you need good old-fashioned bike repair, there's a good old-fashioned bike shop. And they're at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown. They're online at adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get all of us outside. Let me grab a few texts here, and then I want to set up what we're going to do next hour here. Let's see. Hal said, the bunker buster bombs aren't needed to shut down the facility. This facility, there has to be an access tunnel for vehicles, a utility tunnel, and ventilation. Close any one of those and situation solved. So, I says, by the way, the DNI said, Iran. Oh, yeah, that was the whole thing between Tulsi Gabbard and Tulsi Gabbard said one thing, and the seems like everybody else said something else. But he said, yeah, the DNI said Iran isn't building a bomb, but President Trump says he thinks they are. Remember all the cheerleading for the Iraqi WMDs. Hal, dragging my foot any more, you don't have to put any more weight on my foot drag for war if you've listened to me any period of time. Real slow on that. B-Dark said, Sean, since Tennessee won the ruling, does that mean any state can vote the same law? I think that is true. After, if specifically within the what they ruled on for SCOTUS. I mean, you have to get, some of that stuff gets narrow. Maxima said, how about if we go into Iran full bore? We don't just, how about if we go into Iran full bore, we don't abandon our indigenous allies like we did in Afghanistan or we did the Montagnards in Vietnam. And also, Hootie sucks. Listen, but what about Darius Solo? I wouldn't have, Fort Darius Rucker. I think I'm onto something. T-Mac says they'll have the bomb as soon as Florida is underwater from global warming. Well, the water down there is beautiful. That's where I went last week. I was down in Florida, went to the Keys, down South Florida, enjoyed it a lot. This is from Unnamed Texter. If you were to get Darius Rucker to sing Lee Greenwood's I'm Glad to Be an American, I think it's, isn't it I'm Proud? Is it Glad? I don't, that song, you got to believe everyone would be behind it. Let's see. And Fire Dog said, if we let the weird beards in Iran stay in power, they will rebuild. Hamas and Hezbollah will rearm, and this chance will slip away until Jerusalem goes up in a nuclear fireball. We can destroy the nuclear sites and the mobile launchers Iran is using and give the Iranian people a chance to rise up and take over. Let the government flee to Russia. 30-day deadline, and we do mean deadline, or you meet Allah the hard way. So there you go. And this last text here from Ricky says, look for $12 a gallon gasoline soon. All right. That would slow down some of the traffic out there maybe at $12 a gallon. Hey, coming up in just a minute, Lake Pickle joins me. We're going to talk about this move. It's back. It's back. It was in the House bill. Then it went away. And we thought we had a victory there. Now it's back in the House bill. As the Senate version of the budget reconciliation bill, the big, beautiful bill, could put 250 million acres of public land up for sale. I mean, this is, most of it's in the West, and it excludes some areas, but it puts a whole bunch in the, I think it's 11 Western states under this, and the it's led by Mike Lee. Okay, so and Mike Lee, and he's put it back in. It's back in the Senate bill. And this is a big push. And there are people that really want this to happen. A whole bunch of other folks, though, that don't want it to happen. So we'll talk about what this could mean. Public lands up for sale. They'll say it's for affordable housing. I'm going to make the argument that in 96% of the cases, it doesn't fit that description. But we'll talk with you about it when we return. Hour number two of Midday Mobile comes up in just a couple minutes.